Welcome to Choosing Leadership, a podcast for high performers with big dreams and for leaders who know that they are more powerful than the level that they are currently playing. I am Sumit Gupta, your host and the founder CEO of the Deploy Yourself School of Leadership. I am here to help the best leaders get better and to help organizations massively improve their output and impact, and at the same time eradicating workplace stress. Yes. Completely eradicating, not just reducing, completely eradicating. I believe in creating a future and a work culture where people wait for Mondays, not Fridays, and get to do their most meaningful work. The aim of this podcast is not to provide you more content, but instead shift the context under which you operate. This podcast is titled Choosing Leadership because that is what leadership is, a choice. In each episode, I will celebrate leaders who have made such choices, which are not always easy and comfortable, but which has helped them get to where they are today. And let us celebrate the leader in us for choosing to move over our fears, for choosing to be motivated by something bigger than ourselves, and for choosing to deal with every challenge that comes on the way. Let us celebrate you right now for stepping into the unknown and taking courageous action, as those were the moments when you chose leadership. At the end, I will share how you can be our next guest on this podcast. And with that, let's get started. Robin is the COO at Avisi and has previously been a software engineer and a CTO. In this interview, Robin discusses his transition from being a techie to a consultant and now to a COO. He shares insights on navigating uncertainty and embracing transparency, especially when it comes to his leadership, and drawing inspiration from figures like Richard Branson. His approach to decision-making and focusing on moving forward rather than dwelling on past mistakes is a valuable lesson for any leader. The emphasis on assuming the best intentions in others and providing opportunities to learn and grow from failure. Hi, Robin. Welcome to the Choosing Leadership podcast.
Hi, Sumit. Thanks for having me.
It's wonderful to have you here. To begin with, can you share who you are and what do you do? And then we go into a round of questions.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Robin Vom, 35 years old. I'm the COO of Avisi. We're a software development company. And basically it means that I'm responsible of the internal workings of our company.
Thank you. Can you share a little bit of your backstory, right? How did you came to where you are today?
Yeah, absolutely. So I studied computer science, so I'm a developer by trade, let's say. I started my career as a developer for a software company. Then I came into contact with some software with a software partner from Israel, and I did consulting for them. And I flew around the globe consulting other companies on a specific software product. I met a lot of people, I helped a lot of companies. And then I think it was 2010. I thought it was a time for a change in work. And then I remembered Avisi from way back when I was in college. So I reached out to them, really liked what they're about, really helpful people, fun people to work with. But then I started this company as a developer. And then the company was also in a growing phase. I think when we started, there were about 25 people in the company. And then our company was growing, we got new projects, and I always had an interest to see more of the project than just simply doing the coding. And then they asked me if I wanted to be like a team leader for one of the projects. I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed with working with the people, talking with the clients, but also looking after deadlines and things like this. After a while, we got a new project, which required the teams to be available. And then they asked me if I wanted to lead that project as well. So I happily obliged. And during the time, the company was also growing, right? I think this was when we were about 50 people. So we doubled in size in a couple of years. And then for this project, it was a lot of stakes. It was high pressure. And so there was a lot of demand on the project management side of things. And I really enjoyed that. There were some tough times, absolutely, but also a lot of learnings on how people react and things like this. So I did that for a couple of years. And then we started one of our products. We launched one of our products, which is now its own company in itself. I took the role as CTO there, finding the right product vision and the product roadmap and translating that to actual work, but also talking with clients on how they could use the products for their benefit. That's also when I started to really see the business side of things. Also really enjoyed that. And again, during this time, the company was growing. And at this time, I think we were about 80 people. And that's when we also started to differentiate what kind of business we do within the company. And then they asked me if I wanted to take charge of our units. So that's also when I came into touch with more like a finance side and the risk management part of things. I also enjoyed that. And it's also, so we've grown from there. And then more recently, I've taken on the role of CEO of the entire company, which I really enjoy the business aspects of that. So in a nutshell, that's how I came to where I am today.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Can you share a bit more on the journey from being a complete techie to, as you said, right, first consulting and traveling, because that itself is quite a lot of exposure compared to if you're just working in a single company with a single team or a single project. What did you learn, especially about communication, being tactical from that initial phase of consulting, and then maybe taking it in the very recent phase when you're taking more responsibilities, which are directly business related or finance related? What are the key shifts that you're noticing in your own skills?
Well, that's a great question. So as a consultant, obviously the company that you're consulting for, they have expressed their interest and their confidence in the product. And then as a consultant, you can prepare your work, but you never know exactly what you're going to find when you arrive at the client. And I think this is an important skill to have, to just be able to go with the flow and accept things as they come, and then use that to your benefit. I remember I was consulting for one of our clients, and I prepared one thing, and they asked completely different things. And yeah, as a consultant, this flexibility is something that you must have. And I think having that in the beginning of my career really shaped how I approach things. So prepare something, but also be flexible around what you're going to find. And then that also helped me on more on the business project side of things. It is good to have a plan, and that's also what I like to have, but also accept when the fundamentals of your plan have changed, and then adjust when it's necessary. Don't stick to the plan because you've prepared so much work, right? You've done so much work for the planning. Just also be flexible about it. And I think this is something that I picked up from the consulting part. And also the creativity. I think that comes hand in hand with the flexibility is that you try to find creative solutions. And I guess as a developer, you also have to be a little bit creative. Software development in itself is a creative process where you find the right solution based on your current environment, which changes and varies from time to time. And so this creativity also plays into the conversations you might have with clients where they have issues or problems and you have to find the right solution for it. And
Can you share an example where you went in preparing something and then you were put on the spot? And then how did you navigate that?
All right, I'll have to think about that one. It's a good one. Yeah, but I think this is something that happens. It's not a big thing, but it happens daily where a customer might see an opportunity, but you're not building exactly something for that opportunity. And then they ask you, can we do it? And as a techie, you always say, sure, we can, but you also have to think about the implication, right? What are we going to do? I think mainly on our own product, More App, we have to be very flexible and look where the customer wants to go and make a plan for that. So I think that's where in the period in my career is where we really have to have the creativity.
Yeah. And if I come back to now in the last few years, especially business leadership, I think involves dealing with surprises or dealing with unexpected situations. So how has that experience proving valuable now? And what new are you learning in the last few years?
Oh, that's a great question. So I think the easy change that we've had is the COVID period, right? Where I remember it was on a Thursday, there was a big press conference here in the Netherlands where it was announced that starting basically from that point on, we were going into lockdown. So this was a big challenge for the nation. Is how are we going to do our work? And this is something that required some creativity. I'm glad we already had certain things in place. But still, you have to really think about, okay, what could this mean for the people? And to your last point, I think that is something that it's been really a learning journey for me personally is more on the people side. Is being a techie, you always on the facts and there's a right answer. But when you're working with people, there's always a balance and there's things happening in their personal life that impact their professional life. But it's something that I wasn't taught at any school. It's something you have to pick up on.
Yeah, I think many of these skills, nobody is taught, right? Because especially as a leader, you do not have to just manage your own mental health, your balance, stress levels. But then you also have to take care of your team to make sure that the business doesn't suffer. So how have you managed that balance? Or what advice would you give to a manager who is dealing with their own uncertainty, struggle, but then they also have a team who is looking up to them for coaching, for support? How do you navigate this personal versus the big responsibility that I have?
That is an excellent question. So I think when I started out, I always thought that I should be the stable factor and people should be able to look up to me to see things are going okay, it's going to be all right. Even though yourself, you have doubts, there's things going on you're not sure of, you would have to be that person people can look up to. I think that's how I started. I think a lot of people assume that that's the main thing of being a leader. But I think I've recently come around in the last couple of years that I think it's more powerful to say to your team, all right, there is uncertainty. I also don't have all the answers. That is the painful truth, is that I don't have a magic ball where I can look into and know where we're going, but I can help you. I can help the team understand what steps are we going to take to make sure things are going to be clear and it's going to be all right, but not coming from a position of pretending that it's going to be all right, but really transparency, being transparent about, I don't have the answers, but I'm going to take action to make sure that we're going to make the right choices along the way. Yeah. I think that would be my advice, is don't burden yourself with having to be the guy who's all-knowing, but be human, be conscious about how you're going to approach things. And that is something that people will really enjoy having you as a leader.
Thank you. I love that answer. And I also love your honesty in the answer itself, because even in a public setting, an interview like this one, there's a lot of that notion of, I want to be perceived as that. So should I really say that or not?
Right.
But what you're telling is right. Sometimes asking for help is basically not weakness. It could be a strength. And what I have noticed is that, right, asking for help allows others to contribute. It brings participation. And anyways, pretending, people can really see through that. We are trained, we have evolved to really see fakeness or seeing that the person is saying, but there's something missing here.
Yeah, exactly.
So pretending to know something when you don't know, or pretending to be in control when things are really unpredictable, people can see through that and it doesn't really work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Really, it's about being authentic, right?
Yes,
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I totally see what your point. I think this is, people think this as a position of weakness of not knowing things, but I see it as a position of strength, because you can't know everything. But if you're open about it, be authentic about how are you going to manage it, that's the most important part, right?
Absolutely.
It's like driving into a city you don't know. You don't know where you're going. No, you don't. But you know the rules of the traffic. You know your destination. It's going to be all right. And that's the same thing with handling these types of situations.
Yes, absolutely. I always say that not knowing is the gate for future learning. If you Absolutely. Say, I know, then no matter whether or do not know, there is no scope for learning, because you close that gate, right? If you say, I don't know, then that's where you have that possibility for more learning, right? So coming to learning, right, and especially business and finance, I see these two areas, a lot of techies either do not want to learn or go there, or they have an aversion for that. So how have you learn to do things or even be responsible for things, maybe which you don't really like or you have not liked it in the past? How have you helped yourself, like, able to learn, enjoy, and do something which is suddenly now a part of your job?
Yeah, good question. I think one of the benefits is that I'm someone who really wants to know how things work, right? I think probably most techies will. They want to know how do things work. And the same thing applies to me in business. Like, when I'm confronted with something that I don't know, I always think to myself, oh, I want to know how that works and how hard can it be? And I don't want to discount anyone's job, but I'm always thinking, if you put in the time, you should be able to learn at least the basics of it. And that's also how I came to understand finance. Yes, I want to know how this works because it's such a fundamental part of business. And then the same thing for, like, more management types of activities. They're really interested in how do things work. And I think on the topic of learning, a couple of years ago, I started with my MBA certification. And that's something that I also really enjoy. I think that you should challenge yourself to keep learning because there's always more to learn, right? And that is also something for me that serves as a foundation of finding answers. Because there's a lot of answers already in literature, and it's not, and I'm not talking about literature like from the 1970s or something, but there are studies being done on topics that are relevant for everyday business. And that's a starting point for, okay, so what does the literature say about these kinds of events? And then use that as a starting point to start learning. And that's something that I really like.
Thank you for adding that. And I think that shows like an attitude of curiosity towards the world. So even if you are struggling or you do not know something or something is new, you have this attitude of, let me figure this out. Like, how is this working? And right. Then that helps you slowly build up that control, but also that confidence over exactly. A period of time.
Yeah.
Can you talk about a few people who have influenced this? Because this looks very ingrained in you as a, like a starting as a techie, then moving into consulting, which is a very different thing, right? Traveling across right. The world and then continuously, even with your role right now, you have continuously every few years, you have taken something bigger. So where is that coming from? Who are those key people who have influenced you?
Yeah, I vividly remember reading an autobiography from Richard Branson, the person who founded Virgin. And the book, it's called Screw It, Let's Do It. And that really sums up his mentality on business. It's, all right, let's just start. Let's get going. And that was really inspiring to me. Let's just get it going. And having an attitude of wanting to learn along the way, that was something that he also really ascribes to. And it's something that I found so eye-opening. Like, all right, let's just keep going. And then there's obviously the more typical, I think, influences for business people, Covey and people like this. But I really remember reading about Branson. Okay, yeah, this is good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And talking about this in the Netherlands, which is a very structured, very rule-based, very society, right? So if you have that attitude of, let's try this, like, what the hell, right? What will happen? I will deal with it. And when you take it to people who are coming from that structure society, and even business management is in a way of trying to put structure or trying to get things into control, how do you navigate that when you bring in your attitude of entrepreneurship, which you're talking about? It's really about entrepreneurship. And how do people react to that? And then how do you navigate that reaction?
Yeah, a good point. I think most people here are a little bit risk averse. So they don't like taking risks. So I think that is the main thing. And this is also ties into uncertainty, right? That we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Right? So acknowledging that there is some certain level of uncertainty, that's step one. All right. There is some uncertainty. And then breaking that down. So basically, it's a really structured approach of tackling uncertainty. All right. So this uncertainty, what's the worst that could happen? That's always a question that I ask myself. All right. Worst case scenario, and then build up certain measures to counter that. And all right, when are we going to pull the plug? Which is also, I think, a good question to have answered before you start. All right, so what is something that when that happens, we're just going to stop to mitigate risk? And again, the answer is in the approach. People are uncertain. You bring them certainty by giving them a process where you're going to break down the uncertainty layer by layer.
Thank you. Thank you for adding that bit. I think that helps in the communication part of it because somebody else might be looking at your career and saying, what the hell are you doing? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So now if I focus a little bit on the future, right, having come through this journey, what's next for you? Like, where do you think that the next 3, 5, 10 years will take you? And then what could be some of the challenges that lie ahead?
So again, we're still a growing company. So we're now still at a phase where I know everybody's name. I know if I really try hard, I probably also know the names of their partner and sometimes even their kids. While we grow the company, that's simply not going to happen. And with that, there will be a culture shift of people knowing each other by name, knowing what they like and don't like and knowing what they're working on. I think while we grow the company, really focusing and nurturing the culture side of the company is going to be paramount.
Yeah. Thank you for adding that. And I think what was surprising for me, it's not surprising to hear that I know everybody, but I even know the name of their partners and their kids. I think that's a bit surprising. Can you share what does the company or you do in your like events, practices, conversations that allow you to create that familiarity? And then is it only you or does that hold true for every leader, every manager in the company that the culture of like really connecting beyond the role that people are fulfilling? Can you share a bit more of that?
Yes, absolutely. One of the reasons the founder started the company is a more personal approach to running a company. And that is something that's simply instilled into our culture. So our team leads lead a small team so they know who they are, who they're working with. And we focus on stable teams. So making sure that there's not much turnover in terms of employees. And that already makes sure that you really know the people you're working with. And then on top of that, we also encourage people to get to know each other, either through events that we host, but also because we do that, which is that they start hosting events of their own. And then we simply encourage that. And because we do that, people really get to know each other. And then because of that, they find each other more easily or quick with problem solving. And
thank you. I think thank you for adding that to parts about event and being explicit about those things, because that is how like all of these culture and our values really become operational and embedded in the people who are a part of, rather than just becoming posters on the wall. And I also loved how you shared about the founder's vision for starting the company. And so many times that vision is there, but it's lost. It's very rare for it to come up conversation. And I'm assuming if it is coming up now, it is also coming up regularly in your conversations among your teammates, right? So that's one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think one of the foundational elements of this is also the level of trust. This is one of our core values is trust. And it's easy to say that is our core value, but I've had several people come into the company and they say, wow, I know you had this as a core value on your website, but I really feel it. And that on the operational side is when team leads need to buy things for their project, we give them a credit card, right? And we just tell them, all right, I believe that you're going to purchase what's necessary. And that has always paid off, giving people flexibility and the liberty and the trust to do what is necessary to complete their project. And you receive that same level of trust and commitment back.
Wonderful. I loved how you gave that example, but also spoke about trust in the terms of giving trust first and then getting it back. And a lot of people actually look for reasons or proof, like, why should I trust you? Or at least hit that level and then I will trust you.
Yeah,
but that's a paradox, right? Sometimes to build trust, you have to give trust first. Right. That was demonstrated in that example.
Yeah, I think, this is a good point that you make. Yeah, most people first expect trust before they give it. And I think we try to do it the other way around. Let's assume everybody is a good person. And then if the opposite is proven, we'll take measures. But I've never had an encounter where our trust was violated, because it also, obviously, it matters who you hire, but we've never had an encounter where our trust was violated.
Thank you, Ria. And as you're also responsible for the business side of things now, how do all of these practices play a role there? because I talk to a lot of leaders, and some people understand the value of all of these like cultural elements. But a lot of people say that, right, growth matters. And sometimes these things can get in the way of growth. How do you navigate like building the culture, but also making sure that the commitments of the company to their clients and the growth, whatever the growth percentages are, also taken care of?
Yeah, excellent questions. Yeah, it's a balance because obviously we're a company and we need to make money. We want to grow, but it's making a conscious decision. I think that is the bottom line. So we made a conscious decision. We started the company wanting to have great people doing great work. All right, then we make choices that reflect that first. And obviously we're not throwing money out of the window here, but that is the basis. We started with great people, great work. So everything we do relates to that. So that means that if we can hire someone that is maybe not optimal for us or doesn't fit within the culture, but it would make us money on a project, we don't do it. So it's a conscious decision. And yeah, it's something that we've chosen to do. And that is how we operate the business. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And also going back to like, why are we here? And then that becoming a factor in making a choice, right?
Yeah,
rather than a short-term indicator of a growth or whatever the business requirement are. Like you also connect it back to why are we here? Why did we start? What are those values? And then that becomes a factor in the decision-making, because in the pressure of things, right, it can sometimes too easy to lose touch with all of that. So I love that you reflected on that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Tell us something which most people do not know about you.
About me personally?
Yeah.
Wise or personal? What do you think?
Maybe personal.
Personal. All right. So I'm actually a pretty good archer. Yeah, I did that for 8 years. It has been a while though, but yeah, I did archery on a national level and like top 20 archers in the Netherlands. Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite intriguing. And what led you to archery, or what does that play a role? Did you learn anything from archery which plays a role in your day-to-day or leadership?
Yeah, that's a good question. To start, I was always fascinated with movies and things like this. And then I remember talking to my wife, it was years ago, and I kept telling her how I really liked archery. I liked the appeal of archery. And then she said, so you keep saying this, why don't we start up with a workshop? So I did, and I really got hooked. And then the thing with archery is everyone can shoot in the center of the target, right? And it's not that hard. But doing it over and over again, that's where the precision comes from. And that's where the challenge is. And that is something that has appealed to me. But also it's a mental game, mostly. It's about controlling your emotions. It's not a difficult technical sport per se. I think while I did that, I also was an instructor. Everybody can learn how to shoot a bow and arrow. It's not that hard. But it's a mental game, especially when you're put under pressure. And that is something that was really appealing to me. Yeah.
Thank you. And I think very unexpected answer from you, because I have never done archery. But the first impression that when you spoke about archery was about aggression, about like really that thrill.
Right.
But what you're talking about is consistency, patience, maybe managing your emotions, because
Absolutely. Then
you are balanced, you are centered enough to actually do that well over a period
right.
of time. And many times, right, it's the same with leadership as well, right? That sense of balance, that sense of a solid grounding is what allows you to be consistent with your communication, with your conversations. And things will go like up and down, and being a roller coaster life that leadership can be.
Yeah,
but do you think that helps you stay more focused, more calm, more composed?
Oh, I think it's an excellent summary that you make. It's about, it's controlling your emotions, being stable, also accepting that sometimes you made the wrong decision and moving forward. And that's, I remember I was, it's actually not too far from here. I was with the national team, not that I was in, but I was visiting them. And there was this, I think, championship was going on, and one of their colleagues was shooting in it, and he made a terrible shot. Terrible. Like normally during practice or during any other normal circumstance, he wouldn't have shot that. And then we looked at the teammate and we said, wow, that is terrible. And he said, yeah, it happens. Move forward. And that is the mental side that we make 100% of the decisions with only like 50% of the information. And looking back, you might have made a different decision, but you have to keep moving forward. Don't You try to learn from the past, but keep moving forward. This is the I think this is the most important lesson. Just keep moving forward.
Thank you. And I think that's a wonderful summary of like leadership as well, because like it's so easy to look back and be judgmental or critical of what you did. But then that is not helping you moving forward. And every second or every part of your attention that is occupied in the past is not allowing you to be here.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And this is an excellent summary. Yeah, it's good to learn. But right, it's easy to look at any leader and say that was a big mistake. Yeah, maybe in hindsight, yeah, it was a big mistake. But there's always more factors than you can look at from the outside. And then, yeah, you make a decision and right, yeah, let's move forward.
Yeah, thank you. And I think if you can do that for yourself, you can also be more empathetic to others.
Yeah,
because then you see that everybody is facing the same thing. They don't know what they're really doing and they're trying to do the best they can. And as a leader, understanding that can allow you to be empathetic and understanding of others.
Yeah. So I read this book. It's written by a Dutch guy. I can send you the link later. Maybe you can find a translation for it. But it basically about assume everybody is a good person. That is basically the name of the book as well. And I think this is a great stance to take in general. Most people, like the vast majority of the people, want to do their best and they give it their best. And they do their work under the best of circumstances that they can do. And sometimes that doesn't work out, but assume that they wanted to do the right thing. And I think this is a healthy stance to take.
Thank you. Thank you. And to begin to wrap this up, right?
Sure, yeah.
Can you share what are you most grateful for in your life and work?
This is a big question. I'm most grateful. I think given recent events, I think I'm just grateful for having a stable family, having the opportunity to learn, having the opportunity to grow, but perhaps most importantly, having the opportunity to fail, making bad decisions and then learning from it and not being judged by others, but saying, all right, what did we learn? Let's move forward. I think this is the most important gift that I've received.
Wonderful. I love that you put opportunity before grow, learn, and fail, because sometimes people can see these three things, especially as challenges or pressure producing, and not as opportunities. So that's a wonderful perspective also to take at life, right? And that reflects a lot about you. Wonderful. So for anybody who is listening who wants to find out more about you, what you're up to, or follow you, what is the best way for them to do
so? Yeah, so sometimes I share my thoughts on LinkedIn. So find me on LinkedIn, follow me, please. I'll share my thoughts on that.
Thank you. Thank you, Robin, for sharing everything that you shared with me today. I'm sure everybody who listens to this will get some thoughts provoked.
It
will be a deep and reflective listening for anybody. And I want to wish you all the best for everything that lies ahead for you.
Thank you, Sumit. And thank you for having me, and have a wonderful weekend.
Perfect. It was a pleasure.
All right. Thank you.
That's it for this episode of Choosing Leadership with Sumit Gupta. I choose leadership every time I record this podcast, and I invite you to do the same. I invite you to design a life of joy, meaning, pride, and satisfaction, not just for yourself, but for everybody around you. If you got something out of this episode, would you share this episode on social media? And if you know somebody who would be a great guest, can you tag them on social media to let them know about the show? And if you are a leader who wants to acknowledge how far you have come and have big dreams for the future, please reach out to me to be a guest on this podcast. And I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. This is what I do most naturally, to lovingly and gently provoke you, to help you see your own light, to help you see what you are already capable of. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. If you want to know more, go to deployyourself.com and subscribe to my newsletter or follow me on LinkedIn. I want to thank everyone who contributed to making this show a reality, and I want to thank you for listening. Always remember that you are enough, you are loved, and you matter. This is Sumit. Until next time, keep choosing leadership.